Fresh4Radio.com.
Fresh Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Tres Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Tres Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TresRiosSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at WesternWishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
This is 4Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
At a room on the strip for 10 years in Vegas. Every night she looks in the mirror and she only ages. She's been reading about Nashville and all the records that everybody's buying. 'Cause I'm a simple girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packs her bags to try her hand. Says this might be my last chance. She's gone country. Look at them boots. She's gone country. Back to her roots. She's gone country. A new kind of suit. She's gone country. Here she comes.
Welcome to She's Gone Country with Becky, and this is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to welcome you to the show tonight. We've got a really fun hour ahead of us. Tonight we are visiting with the owner and director of the Rodeo News, which is a rodeo publication that Miss Siri Stevens has taken on, and we're going to talk to her all about everything that she does in this magazine and where she's grown this publication to and everything that she's all about, because she is all about rodeo. But first, I want to welcome my beautiful co-host, Becky Christensen. Are you there?
I am, Becky. Good evening, everyone. Siri, we're so happy to have you here as a guest this evening. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
Now, Siri, this is my first time actually getting to speak with Siri. So, Siri, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us this evening. Vicki has told me a ton about you. And I know that I don't know if she's on yet, but I'm hoping that our other guest co-host will be able to hop on tonight, and that's Donalyn Quintana. She is our CEO of Western Wishes, which is our charity team that we empower and uplift here at She's Gone Country with Becky, and I know that she communicated with us earlier in the week that she would be on. So we'll stand by and see if she gets in as we get into the interview. She's Gone Country, you know, we are here, and the message we want to bring is that to elevate and empower everyday cowboys and cowgirls who are living the country way of life, but that love God and just want to bring their message to those that maybe don't know that lifestyle and maybe don't have that relationship with Christ and just want to know what it's all about so that we can, you know, bridge the gap and keep the culture of the American Cowboy and Cowgirl Live. So, Siri, I'm really excited to speak with you and get into everything it is that you represent, because I think what you're doing and what we're about just mesh in such a cohesive way. So this is going to be an exciting hour. So I would just love at this point, Siri, if you could just share with the audience a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your background, and just tell our guests who you are.
Oh, how far back do you want to go, Becky?
Oh, goodness. Why don't you, you know what, I'll let you decide. But I know, like, for instance, share with them just a little bit about your background, you know, where you come from, your where you grew up and how you grew up, and,
okay.
and where your background in this culture and why you love radio came about.
Okay. Well, I'll start here and go backwards, but basically one of the things that intrigues me about rodeo in general is the type of people that are involved in the industry. And I just recently got a phone call from somebody from England into the magazine, and he said that the rodeo people reflect an ethic and a culture that is not seen anywhere else. And I asked him to further explain that, and he did so by tapping into the politeness and the dress code and the ethics that he perceived people in rodeo to have, whereby we help each other and we encourage each other and we speak respectfully to one another. And underlying that, of course, is the biblical principles that we learn when we study God's Word. But to have that portrayed so openly to where people can recognize it and see it is one of the things that attracted me and still gives me the passion to write about rodeo people. I have a journalism degree, and my gift is encouragement, and my passion is human interest stories. And the combination of all of that has led me to own the Rodeo News, which is actually a gift from God. It's the way I ended up having this magazine is not by the straight and narrow, I'm going to go start a rodeo magazine. It was a series of doors that open and close in one's life and the perception to follow through when one closes, even though it's hurtful. So I helped start an agricultural paper called The Fence Post with a gentleman in a small little room, and that publication grew to a very large publication, and I was the roving reporter for that, traveling all over a four-state region, getting lost down country roads, and digging out those rural, agriculturally rooted people to write stories about. And when 9/11 happened, the company that had bought this publication mandated all of their properties, which the Fence Post was considered one, to cut their budget by 30%. And, of course, many corporate people in that day and age acted out of fear, and so in compliance, my position was cut because that was all they could do. So I found myself, after 20 years, unemployed and actually wondering and hurt because I had given my life to that career. A friend of mine introduced me to a woman who had a roping publication, and she just knew that I could help expand this roping publication the way it should be expanded. And the woman who owned it admittedly was a yapper that could type, and she was a roper, and that was a skill set, and determined. That was her skill set that she brought to this. Well, after about a year there, she turned the paper over to me, and I ended up buying that paper while she was getting a divorce. The judge awarded it to me, and I had 3 days to come up with the money to purchase the paper, which I did by borrowing money from 3 friends. And so I put the whole thing together with a vision of becoming a magazine that would serve the needs of amateur and youth rodeo across the nation. At the beginning, my vision was to make a regional publication in each region that would serve that region. But as the economy has taken the turn that it has, and the only thing that supports that sort of ambition is advertising, it became clear that the corporate advertisers were going to pave the way for me to put this publication together on a national basis. And it's ended up being quite a different vision than I originally had it. And the fact that we're so global now that we had somebody from Italy come over to rodeo around in the States based on the rodeo news. And we have people from the East Coast traveling to places in Wyoming to catch a rodeo on their way to some other destination. And so the communication and information that the magazine is able to bring to readers across the nation has, beyond my expectations, done it. So the other thing that's underlying the whole thing is, and I believe has allowed the magazine to prosper and grow, is the fact that God can be heard through the pages of the magazine, and his word and kingdom can be expanded through it. And when there comes a time when we're not allowed to speak, I still can because I own it.
And I just have to tell you, I think we're more kindred than I could have even imagined, because that's really the same reason why I began the show, exactly for that reason, because when we're not able to speak the way we want to, there's certain avenues, you know, a lot of 501Cs and all those sorts of things will be, you know, kind of chained down by governmental rules and regulations. For those that continue to do what they love and have passion at without the 501C, you know, it keeps them from being silenced, and at least as long as we can be anyway. So there's a lot of similarities there. And what I found really interesting is what you said. Did you say that you had 3 days to purchase the company?
I did.
And you had 3 friends that helped you do it?
Correct.
As you said that, the scripture that came to mind is that where 3 or more are gathered together, my spirit is present. And so I just felt like I needed to tell you that, because I thought, wow, that's really amazing that number kept popping up. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you.
Well,
thank you.
Siri, this is Vicki. And I just want to say, first of all, for our listeners that don't know, that this magazine that Siri has taken from the ground up now reaches over 45,000 readers. And then there's an additional 98,000 that read the magazine online. But Siri, what really touched my heart is the fact of you said about a door closing and another one opening, and about it being a gift from God. And, you know, I got into the buckle business in much the same way. I simply feel that while I'm here on this earth, that my business, I'm a steward of that business, and it's my responsibility to take care of it and to do so in a right way. So, yes, I consider my business a gift from God also. That's awesome, Siri.
Thanks. Thank you. The other underlying thing that goes with growing any business is paying attention to the growth pattern and pride. I have to always humble myself and say that while the magazine is known in many households as the Rodeo Bible, that it's still the Bible that we turn to gain our strength. And so I'm constantly checking my ego at the door. And when I'm asked to do interviews, I'm humbled by the fact that anybody even knows I exist, to be honest with you. Because I feel like I'm a grassroots effort I'm sitting in my bedroom right now looking at my plants and being grateful that I have a roof over my head, because it's really, really windy outside right now.
It is. It is windy here too, Siri. I'm in Spokane, Washington, and it was 50 degrees today, which, one, is an amazing feat in itself for January in this part of the country that I live in. But the wind has been blowing something crazy the last 2-3 days. It's bizarre weather this time of year. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking with Siri Stevens on our Rodeo News. And we're also going to welcome on to the line, Donna Lynn is with us from Australia. So we'll bring my other guest co-host on the line so she can chime in with us and visit with Siri Stevens with Rodeo News. We'll be right back.
ForRadio.com.
Since 1997, Tresrio Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tresrio Silver, Llano, Texas.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org. Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to thank you for tuning in tonight. With us tonight is Vicki Christensen, my co-host, and we do have Donna Lynn Quintana on the line from Australia. Donna Lynn, are you there?
Yes, can you hi, girls. How are you? Hi, Siri. Hi, Vicki. Hi, Becky. Can you hear me all right?
We sure can. It's so nice to hear your voice.
Hi, Donnelly.
I miss y'all. I miss you guys so much. A lot is happening over here, but I'm just listening to Siri, and I got to tell you, Siri, I feel like over here in Australia, I like the poor man's version of Barbara Walters. I want so much to get some of these fascinating stories over here that there's not enough time to pull it all together, and like, oh my gosh, a writer would be so amazing. So anyway, I'd love to pull together a huge group of people that come over to Australia for a real great experience over here next year. So we're working on it. So anyway, I'm always in awe of journalists and writers that can reach people, especially when you touch people's hearts. So welcome, Siri, to She's Gone Country.
Thank you.
Well, we are, for those of you who missed the first few minutes of the show, we're talking to Siri Stevens, and she is the owner of Rodeo News, and you can find her at therodeonews.com, and she also is, of course, on Facebook, and be sure to go there and like her page. That's Rodeo News. You just type that in, and it'll pop up her Facebook page. But Siri, I'm looking at your website, and I'm curious, tell me a little bit more about this, because I'm looking under your drop-down link, and you've got, under articles, you've got some really fun, intriguing names to your article sections that just caught my attention. You've got Back When They Bucked, On the Trail, Roper Review, and you've even got Christian Corner. So tell me a little bit about how you classify each. Do these change each month, or do you kind of keep these same calves and find different things to put under them each month? Tell me a little bit about that.
So the website, everything in life that we do is a work in progress, and the website is that as well. So the website, we came up, whenever I've done anything in the Rodeo News, it's always been with the counsel of mentors that God has brought alongside me. And so when we were always tweaking and redefining the business plan and mission statement of the business, and we decided a few years ago that we wanted to be the information center for rodeo people across the nation. We haven't gone to Australia yet, but But I would love to, and we're not doing that because of postage, to be honest with you. But anyway, so we integrated some of the columns that are in the magazine onto the website for people that would rather read it there than read the magazine. So the On the Trail is a feature that ties with our cover every issue. The Back When They Bucked is a story that we started back in 01. We write it every issue, and then we produce a calendar out of those people. And it's called the Back When They Bucked calendar. But the criteria for that article is they have to have rodeoed sometime in the 50s or 60s. They have to have pictures, and they have to be alive. Because we figure people embellish their stories enough without having somebody else embellishing it for them. So the Christian Corner has been a part of the magazine since it began, and it has always sat on page 7. Because 7 is a very special number to me, and so that always sits there. And God brings the writer for that to us. We don't solicit that out. It's had a variety of writers that have come through the path, and we have done that since I've been with the magazine. So those articles are part of our website. So then we've integrated social, web, and print, and our Facebook just topped 200,000 today.
Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing.
So the website is not used for anything other than is not used for anything other than social. So we don't sell anything on the Facebook. And what happens with that, and this is the work of my daughter, who's also part of the team. She's the salesperson, but these quotes that you get on Facebook with the pictures are a combination of my pictures and her finding the quotes. So, for instance, the one that's on today is, some of the most important things in life aren't things. And it's a picture of two little kids riding a horse that I happened to take when I was at a rodeo somewhere. I mean, and Lacey goes through all my pictures. That quote has been seen by 300,000 people, and it was just put up today.
Wow. That's amazing.
Oh,
I
wow.
mean, yes. It's a great website, and that's the other thing too, is you're not only are you a journalist and the owner and write, you also are a photographer, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah,
wow.
My passion is I love taking pictures. Love it.
Well, Siri, this is Vicki, and I know, you know, from our association over the years, and we've known each other for a lot of years, and it's been a real blessing and a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you. You know, we get to see each other once a year at the NFR in Las Vegas Cowboy Christmas, but it's always so much fun. You always celebrate a birthday back there, by the way, too, so that's always special. But, you know, what you provide, not just to readers, but what you provide to you know, your advertisers, Siri, is just such a true value because, again, your newspaper, it encompasses the whole picture. I mean, you're right there from the ground up, from you know, the tiniest, youngest junior rodeoer all the way up to the top professional in the game today. And I know that you've had some wonderful, interesting profiles and articles, and I always look forward to when it arrives in the mailbox because of all your wonderful photographs and articles and your insight. Siri, I wanted to ask you, what is one of the most memorable interviews that you have ever done? I know that's a hard question because you've done a lot and they're all great, but what comes to mind?
I like doing the Back When They Bucked stories just because I have a gift for the older people as well. I went this summer. I always plan my summers around rodeos and interviews and stories, and so I set up an interview with a man to do a Back When They Bucked, and then I was going to go to a rodeo, and then I was going to go home. And I got to this gentleman's house, and I said, so where are the pictures? And he said, the pictures are in the castle in the pines. And I said, okay, let's go get them. You know, because I have an agenda here. And he said, well, it's about an hour away down the logging road. Can you come back tomorrow? And I went, heck no, I have a plan, you know. So I went to the rodeo. I went back to his house the next day and got in the truck. And he said, you have to drive because I have molecular degenerative disease and I can't see. So I get in his truck and I'm driving down this logging road, four-wheel drive, over logs, you know, through ravines. And I asked the guy, I said, how did you know I even knew how to drive these kind of roads? He said, oh, I just kind of figured. So we get up to his castle in the pines, which literally was about an hour from the nearest road. And we walk inside this incredible cabin that he built. And his pictures are hanging on the walls of this small cabin overlooking a lake and most beautiful, pristine forest you can imagine. And he said, I have a suggestion for you. By the time you turn 60, you need to be figuring out what you want to do for the rest of your life besides work. And I said, how come? And he said, because when you turn 60, it goes really fast. He said, I built this castle in the pines for my wife so that we could enjoy it together. She died, and I can't see now. And that I think, and I've been doing, I can't tell you how many interviews, I've been doing this for 40 years, and that still sticks out, probably because I'm getting close to 60, but it makes me realize that we have one opportunity on this earth, and we tend to blow through it thinking of things that are good but maybe not thinking of things that are the best.
That's a good word. That's a good word, Terry. Because it's true. I mean, we get so busy working and going day to day and I know a lot of it's just because of the way the world has went and the economy has went, it's just getting by. But you know, we serve a God who has cattle on a thousand hills, and he always tells us we have not because we've asked not. And it's just speaking to my heart because I know that the passions that I have, I think, you know, you're saying your goals when you're 60 are similar to the ones that I have too, that maybe one day I'm just going to start barrel racing again. So tell us what you came out of that. Share us with a little bit about what you're going to shift to when you turn 60.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I'll ever barrel race. I have never not had a horse, but I also have not ridden for a number of years. I used to be part of a drill team. Then I was a show person. Then I was a 4-H leader that taught horsemanship. And then I entered a few reining things just for fun and actually did pretty good, and that was kind of exciting. I'm kind of a competitive person, so if I did something like barrel racing, I would have to get a good horse and be really good at it. I don't know that I would do it just for fun, but I think my vision for my future is to get a house on wheels and actually participate a little bit more closely with rodeos. But I also am a homebody. I have a homebody spirit that loves to garden and be planted at home. So, and I have a great little church that I belong to across the street from my house, and I do all the gardening for that church, and I would like to do that more. So it's whatever window opens and door closes that I will be pursuing, and who knows. I have a lot of energy and good health, and we just praise the Lord for that and see what he brings along.
Yes, Siri, this is Vicki, you know, and, you know, how wonderful his grace is. But if you start barrel racing, I will cheer you on. But believe you me, I am not going to trick ride again. I'm just saying, okay?
See, and why, Vicki? Why not?
Well, let's see here. I can give you several reasons, but it would be an article for the magazine, and we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Okay.
Donalyn, what about you? What do you think? You got any plans? Get back up on a horse and go shoot them barrels?
No, because I was just rode just enough to be dangerous. The only time I got a horseback was when I had to move cattle with Johnny, and I really didn't like being yelled at a lot, so it was a negative thing for me.
Oh, golly.
It was like, get back to the house and fix lunch. Hey, you know what, girls? I want to make a blanket apology really quickly. This battery goes dead on Lee's landline phone here in Gundawindi, Queensland, Australia. So if I just drop out, please forgive me.
I can't believe you're over there. What are you doing over there?
I can't either. I'm so enjoying it. I'm so enjoying it. But this is your show. I love listening to what you're saying. This is going to be one of our great interviews. I love this. I love this. It's great. And you know what? When you were saying about reflecting on that gentleman that was, you know, took you up to that cabin, do you know that it immediately made me think of the time that Gene Autry and Roy Rogers and Ben Johnson were alive? And Vicki, you know this. We could have, you know, I mean, we had access to Eddie Akridge and Casey and everybody. We could have really been able to, you know, with Western Wishes, Gene Autry back in the saddle again and Roy Rogers, you know, what's Roy Rogers, the song? That I can't even think of it, Roy and Dale.
Betrayal.
What an amazing thing to have had when they were alive, to be able to have letters from them to our Wish kids. Wouldn't that have been something? So thank you, Siri, for reminding us. Thank you for reminding us. What a waste. And now Eddie Akridge is gone, and Jim Shoulders is gone, and Casey's been gone for a long time, and Freckles and everything. And darn it, it goes too fast. So I love listening. So, Siri, I love listening about it. Just tell us another story, Siri.
Okay, so do you have to break? I think you're about for a break, yes?
No, actually, I'm gonna hold on the break for a few minutes just for the simple fact that we do have Donna Lynn clear over in Australia,
okay.
And I want to be able to take as much time as we can while we have her on the phone.
Okay, so here's my next story. Alongside of the older people come the youth, and I was able to travel to New York this summer to help somebody finish up a rodeo series and photograph the finals and be part of the whole experience. And I went up to one of the New York high school rodeos. And what I saw there were kids that embraced the Western culture and the Western lifestyle like we do and take for granted. But they are surrounded by city and dairy and pavement, and those few people that embrace the Western culture are few and far between. And so one of the things I'm trying to put together right now is some clinics and schools utilizing some of the talent that we have here and getting it to the East Coast to help show them how to do things. The queen of this particular, at this rodeo that I was at, was so... And I'm not going to say she just didn't know. Her horse didn't know. And she went to do a goat tying, and her horse blew right through the goat because it wasn't trained. And when I saw that and I saw the embarrassment on the girl's face, I thought, we've got to get some instructors on the East Coast to bring the rodeo spirit back there. So that's one of my missions for this coming summer, is to see if I can get some clinicians on the East Coast to help these kids that want a rodeo.
Well, this is Becky, and Siri, I think that's fabulous, because you bring up a very important part of why we're doing what we're doing, and that's, you know, I have teenagers, and, you know, I moved away from the country, and my kids don't have the same culture that I grew up in. Of course, our family is that, but... you know, being way up here in Spokane, they were embellished, obviously, with the sports, but it was more basketball, football, you know, all the other different sporting events that are out there. So although they're athletes and they're competitive, they did not get the upbringing that I was fortunate to have with rodeo. And I just think, especially with the generation today, they're just so, you know, engrossed with media that, you know, to have kids that are still interested, that are living in the city, interested in the country way of life, is so important, and to even to encourage them to encourage others. I mean, what is it that makes that or have you found that in the time that you've got to spend with them or even communicate with them or see them, what is it about the country way of life that they've grasped onto being in that big city?
I think, part of it is the whole thing I spoke about at the beginning, which is the mannerisms, the dress code, the politeness, the ethics, the cowboy way of life. And it's not just wannabe, but one of the things along that same line, I am constantly always looking at fashion. And the hottest selling item in one of clients' stores right now are hooey hats. And my problem is, and I go to ropings and I see this, if these guys can wear baseball caps instead of cowboy hats, if the dress code requires cowboy hats, a lot of these guys are missing now because their hat is in their way. So one of the problems I'm having right now is watching the generational change to baseball caps and short sleeves and you know, not button-down shirts and the dress code that's slipping away. And I think as adults, we need to direct that back to the Western dress code because that's part of the overall picture of politeness that cowboys tended to emanate. And it goes right back to biblical terms. You know, we're called in the Bible to be clothed, to dress modestly, to wear our hair modestly. And, you know, that's something, if we're going to profess to be cowboys and Christians, we need to pay attention to that. And I think sometimes we stray away from that because everybody else does and we don't say anything. My daughter and I have this discussion all the time about, let's get baseball caps for, you know, caps because everybody's wearing them. And I say I won't put a picture of somebody on the cover in a baseball cap, so why would I give them away?
Siri, this is Vicki. You know, hooray, hooray for you. I so totally agree. I mean, I believe that, you know, we definitely live for today. We plan for tomorrow, but what happened yesterday and what we bring to the whole picture, and again, you're talking about the politeness, the cowboy way of life, and it's a mindset, and it's how our basic, our roots, what we go back to. And I do believe in order to bring others into, you know, into this lifestyle and into the fold, that we have to be to educate, and someone in a hooey cap on the cover of Rodeo News. So thank you.
Well, we'll see. you know, I think that goes right along with the Christian walk. I mean, we're surrounded by people that test our faith and how far our boundaries go, and they'll do it anyway, no matter what we're doing. So it's walk the walk and talk the talk and try to set an example for those around us. And I fall way short of that on a daily basis, but that doesn't mean I don't get up the next day and run the race.
Amen. His mercies are new every morning.
Well, I really appreciate Cody Custer's Facebook posts. I mean, I love Facebook for that. I get encouraged by his.
Well, I wish he could be on the line last night. In fact, I was texting him, I think it was Saturday, because that's when I finally, he gave Donna Lynn and I a book called, I have it right here, Pure Grace, The Life-Changing Power of Uncontaminated Grace by Clark Winton. And
okay.
I mean to tell you, he says those are basically, it's my heart on paper. And I think I maybe got 10 pages in, and I just sat there because I was just so amazed by somebody is touching on the grace of God and Christ and what this generation is missing. And Donna Lynn, she can talk more about it. She's further along than I am, but it just does. It gives you even a deeper understanding of Cody, and he does. He just has such a heart for the Lord.
He does. Another book along those same lines is called Business with a Higher Purpose. It's written by Paul Weaver, who is the founder of Weaver Leather. And he talks about the ethics involved with business when you give your business over to the Lord and the decisions you make on a minute-to-minute basis based on who owns the business and what you stand for. It's a phenomenal book. I've gotten probably 10 copies from him and passed them on.
And who is that again?
It's called Business with a Higher Purpose, and the author is Paul Weaver, who was the founder of Weaver Leather. And it's another one of those success stories by walking through doors when others have closed.
Gotcha. Awesome. We'll have to look that up and tag that on our Facebook page.
Oh,
well,
it's amazing.
I'm going to go to a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to continue talking with you, Siri. So please stay tuned, listeners. We will return.
ForRadio.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Trace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at HigherAscent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
And welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I am here tonight with my host, Vicki Christensen, and co-host, and my other co-host, Donalyn Quintan. Donalyn, are you still there? We may have lost her. We are visiting tonight with Siri Stevens, and she is the owner of The Rodeo News, a magazine that is published out of, and Siri, please correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's Fort Collins, Colorado, is that correct?
Actually, it's a little town a little out of Fort Collins called LaPorte.
LaPorte, Colorado. So tell me, what has life been like for you right in the last year up there? Because I know Colorado has just been just dealt one hand after another this year. Things okay up there in your neck of the woods?
They are. We were spared the flood by one block. We were spared the fire by a mile. And the only problem we ended up having is an internet outage for 3 days, which when you're in the publication business is a real problem. But the timing of that was such that we weren't going to press. So the magazine is set up now that we print 20 issues a year, and we actually send digital files from our office to a printer in Denver and put the magazine online the same day. And 2 days later, it's printed and in the mail system. So we have a system set up so that the information is incredibly timely. But we still have a lot of our readership in extremely rural areas, in Nebraska, South Dakota, Kansas, on the East Coast, that are still using dial-up internet, if they use it at all. So the print form that comes in their mailbox is still a very important piece of their rodeo knowledge. And in fact, before I got on the phone with you, I was interviewing a back-when-they-bucked person, and he wanted me to drive down there and talk to him because he didn't want to spend so much time on the phone. So trying to fulfill the needs of such a cross a readership of people that rely on the printed material to people that read everything on their phones is quite interesting. So when we're trying to encourage a new association to join us. National Little Britches is a great example. They were trying to drive everybody to a website, and I was in the room with them encouraging them to join the Rodeo News. And all the kids, all their student directors are required to go to their meetings, and they're all thumbing through the magazine and reading it. And one of the directors said, why should we go with a magazine instead of just go straight to the web? Pointed at the kids, and I said, that's why. What are they doing right now? And they're interested in reading about other kids in other parts of the country and the rodeo culture that they have there. So the print material is still going to be a viable source for information for a long time. And like you, Becky, I'm encouraging anybody that has a walk with the Lord to speak it in their stories and in their interviews. One of the questions we ask is, where do you get your motivation? What drives you to get out of bed every morning? And that's when they have the opportunity to say the Lord. So we strive in our interviews with the people that we write about, and we now have 40 associations in the magazine. So every one of those associations gets a story on one of their members every issue. So one of the questions we encourage them to say is why do you do what you do, and what do you live for? So I think if everybody can answer that, and be asked that question and answer it, it gives you a focus and a direction in your life.
Well, I can definitely tell, Siri, just by looking at your website and your Facebook page, if that is a reflection, because I honestly have not, I'm going to now, but I've not been able, unfortunate enough, to actually read your magazine. But if it's as plentiful as what I'm viewing here, I can only imagine why you still have such a strong base of readership in the magazine itself, because, you know, magazines and newspapers and all those sorts of things are falling by the wayside because of social media. And, you know, you touched on a good point. There's those areas where, you know, kids are still growing up on the ranch, and they have the parents that are still in the generation of, yeah, I really don't want to use a phone, and I don't really need the Internet. So it still is a viable source for those rural agricultural communities that we are trying so desperately to hang on to, which kind of leads me, I'm kind of going to take a step back, because I think this is an important part of who you are, and I think it's important for our lead to hear a little bit about this, and that is your history growing up. One, a couple of things I wanted to touch on is, one, you graduated from Air Force Academy High School, and you went on, you graduated from a university, and then you were very active while growing up and while raising your family in 4-H and horse shows and drill teaming, and you even stated in here how you built up the Livermore Wranglers 4-H Club to be the second largest club in the country. And the reason why I really want to focus on that is because when I was in high school, even growing up on a ranch, a stock contractor's daughter did the whole, you know, branding cattle, branding sheep. You know, I did everything. But when I went into 4-H, I took a different direction rather than doing the horses or raising the cows or the pigs, because I couldn't raise a cow and know that I would have to sell it at the fair, knowing it'd be somebody on somebody's plate. Even though I love meat, I couldn't do it. So I went to speaking and did public speaking through 4-H. And in that, and I'm going somewhere with this, in that, in the last, you know, 9-10 years, even in the fair here in Spokane, the 4-H clubs and the Future Farmers of America and all that, they are just such a limited commodity now. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're still out doing mainstream things with a mainstream magazine, it all started from the heart of that small little thing called 4-H. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, the Fence Post, the publication that I worked for, the Fence Post, I traveled around to FFA conventions and drew in. I used to cover county fairs in 3 states for that publication. Just all the things they did. My daughter raised the Grand Champion Market heifer in our county, and had to go find a sponsor to buy that heifer. And that was her seed money for college. But she had to take that heifer, and it was, yeah, you're right, sold and gone. But then she took a big, huge bouquet of flowers to the person that bought the heifer, and then they consequently hired her, and that was her job for a while, was the receptionist for Spradley Barr Motors. So yeah. I guess it's the whole ethics, and it goes beyond rodeo, but if you look at the majority of rodeo contestants, they come from a ranch or farm background. I came from a military background. I grew up with everybody saluting my father, and when we went off the base into town, I couldn't figure out why they weren't saluting him. And then, of course, along with that came moving all over the country. You know, I lived in Japan, I lived in California, I lived in Pennsylvania, but we finally settled in Colorado, and that's, you know, when I graduated from the Air Force Academy High School. So, and then I went to school in Florida because both my parents passed away by then. So talk about the Lord handing you something on your plate. I had no living parents when I graduated from high school, so my guardian, who I'd never lived with before, was from Florida, so that's where I was a resident. So I packed up my bags and headed to Florida and knew nobody. But I was part of their marching band.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Well, Siri, this is Vicki, and in your story is inspiring to many because it just proves that, you know, when you have faith in God and you have the desire,
yep,
and passion to walk that walk and, like you said, talk that talk and to seek out what is important and what you want to contribute to others. Again, the Rodeo News is a fantabulous publication. And, you know, we get a lot of different publications in the mail every day at Tres Rios, but I can honestly tell you, Siri, that when Rodeo News comes through the door, everyone wants to take a look. And that's going to lead me to, I'm so ecstatic for Rodeo News because it's so well-deserved, and that is that Rodeo News, you were presented with the WPRA Award, and you were the media person of the year, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
That is an astounding accomplishment and so well-deserved, Siri.
Thank you. It was fun. I was on the other side of the camera and the other side of the questions at that point, and it was kind of a little bit nerve-wracking.
You came through with flying colors, and you looked absolutely beautiful. So proud of you,
Thank
Siri.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Vicki. That means a lot to me.
Well, and let's just talk about this for a minute because this is Vicki, and I'm reading over a little bit about the Rodeo News and what we talked about a little bit, but let's just reiterate. The magazine reaches 45,000 readers. 98,000 read the magazine through your website, and then you have an additional 200,000 plus followers as of today. And let's just take a look there because I almost want to say that it's gone up, but that is what, close, darn near 350,000 people touching your magazine each month.
Yes, and this post that my daughter put up, you know, not even a day ago, sometime this morning, reached 328,000 people. Can you even imagine that?
Well, and that's amazing because to me it's like those are, and I say this because over the course of time I'm really have become more careful about what I put on my Facebook because
yeah.
You think about your magazine, your website, and your followers on Facebook. That 350,000 lives that you get to touch each month. And not only bring the message of the American cowboy and the culture of the Western way of life, but the Lord. And that 350,000 people that may, you know, who's to say that they've ever heard anything about the Lord? But, you know, that's
right.
It's just 350,000 opportunities a month, times 12, times however many years you've been doing that. And I think that's a well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you. Thank you. I do have a lot of energy, and I have to use it for something, which is obviously one of the reasons why I'm not married.
Well, we know what the Bible says about all that too. So hey,
I know.
if you can serve Him with your whole heart, then more power to you.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that it takes a strong woman to be able to do that, and the Lord says He's always the husband. So that's the great news that we have in our Father. So we have about, I'd say, about 3 minutes before we're going to end. I can't believe the hour has already come to an end. Time is so fast. And one thing I thought was sweet in your bio that I just had to share, as we talk about all the plethora of things that you've experienced and been able to do and can do, you said, I can plan your vacation, grow the food, fix the car, take the horticulture and English and journalism, or wait, no, and take the pictures and then write about it. That's pretty darn good. That's an all-around hand right there.
Well, I don't do anything with wood. I don't do wood. I'm not a carpenter.
Sherry, this is Vicki, and I definitely think there's a buckle to be made right there with what Vicki said. Just doing it all. And I know we're running short on time, but like Vicki, you know, reading over your bio, there's one point I want to touch on, and again, you just said it, you know, that you admit to having an enormous amount of energy and an independent spirit that has been both a blessing and a burden. And you write further that someone told me once that I am at my best when I am at the top of the mountain with my sword. And she said, that's you, Siri, you said, adding, my daughter bought me a plaque that says, I'm not bossy, I just know what you should be doing. I love that.
That's a leader right there.
That's true. So I'm constantly looking at whether I'm micromanaging or contributing.
Yeah, and you know, and again, Siri, what a blessing to have, you know, that's a gift from God to be able to work with your children. I mean,
know
that firsthand, and I'm so thankful for it. And family, just like Vicki and I. Vicki's my niece, so you know, what a blessing.
No, that is a blessing. That is a blessing. Good for you.
Well, Siri, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us again. And, you know, we have about a minute left. And to end the hour, I would just ask that, you know, maybe you could share with the audience, again, your website addresses or how they can get a hold of the subscription of the magazine before we end the hour.
Okay, and I want to end the hour with one of my favorite words, which is shalom.
Can you share with our listeners?
I will. The website is therodeonews.com. So if you type in rodeonews.com, somebody owns that domain name, but it's not me, and he is not surfaced. He's somewhere in the Cayman Islands enjoying himself. So it's therodeonews.com is the website, and the Facebook is Rodeo News. So join us on either one, and you'll be blessed.
Well, thank you so much, and we are going to close out tonight. So thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed Cowgirl Logic.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fear is something that everyone must deal with. We either face it or run from it. And I've found a couple of principles that minimize the fear factor greatly. One of which is, know you're in the will of God. When I know that I'm obeying God to the best of my ability, I have great confidence no matter what the situation looks like. People living outside of God's will, they don't have that kind of confidence. Years ago, I was riding rough stock, and I was entered in the girls' bareback bronc riding in a PRCA rodeo in Los Angeles, California. I had taken all my money just to get there and pay my fees, and I bucked off my first horse. I had only $20 left and another horse to get on. They were big, stout horses, and if I didn't win something, I was stuck in Los Angeles. The pucker factor was getting pretty intense. Right then, I heard the Lord down the inside of me say, "Didn't I call you to this?" "Yes, Lord." "Then I'll take care of you. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your focus back on me." I repented, and peace returned in the midst of fear. My next horse was a bucker now, and it was the best ride I ever made. Crowd went wild. I won that go-around and placed well in the average. My confidence had shifted from me to him. The difference it makes is phenomenal. The other principle is this. When God is telling you to do something and you're afraid, do it afraid. When it is the will of God, face fear and you'll conquer it. Run from fear and it will conquer you. I have found that whenever I face something while I'm afraid, fear loses its grip over me. Give into it just a little, one area of your life, and it will begin taking over other areas. It seeks to rule and dominate. There is no neutral ground when dealing with fear. I'm Crystal Lyons, and this is Cowgirl Logic.
ForRadio.com.